We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We work for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Fatback Four. Substitute this week, as you can see, the really good looking Matt is not here, the even better looking Keith is, and we're all happy about that. Where do we start? There's only one place to start, I presume, and that's going to be Man City at home last Wednesday evening. Liverpool 3, Man City 0. We've had a good chat about it during the week, but we might as well give a reaction on here as well. First up, what did you expect? Or what was it? I can't even remember the prediction you gave, but it was some going. It was 3-1, yeah, that you said.
I offered to suck everyone off, didn't I? If we won by more than two goals, so
yeah, you've been busy this week, haven't you?
I went out and bought some lip balm before, so I'm ready to go.
Explains his sucked in cheeks look.
But just your reaction on it, Ian. I think it was beyond most people's wildest dreams, that 3-0.
Yeah. That's my reaction. It was fucking tremendous. You know what? It showed the side of it. I mean, we know we're capable of the first half because we've done it many times. But the second half was so impressive. They just dug in. They grounded out a bit, dare I say it, Mourinho-esque. Do you know what I mean? They just sat back. They soaked up the pressure. They didn't try and break. It was very, very mature performance, like from the players and from Klopp as well. Fantastic. We know we can do the first half. It's whether we can do the second half, do you know what I mean? And go and get it off. I thought we were tremendous. Possibly my favourite performance since Klopp's been at the club.
It was one of mine as well. Keith, we didn't get a prediction off you because you weren't on it with us, but were you confident going into it? And then afterwards, how did you feel?
You know, I was quite confident because I was quite surprised at the team selection, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought Raheem Sterling would start, and I thought that the players that he played kind of in the midfield, attacking midfield positions were much ado about nothing. We'll do kind of very similar things, but if you kind of, you know, if you hit them hard enough, they're not ready to stand up to the fight. So I had a small flutter to say, yeah, do you know what? We're about to do business here. But never would have seen... Well, I say never would have seen. We saw it like last when it came to our ground last time. So something we shouldn't really be surprised at is the fact that, yeah, Klopp's got Pep's number at the moment. And it's about hoping that the players can give the exact same intensity in the press, the exact same intensity winning that ball back and creating something out of nothing when it comes down to the second leg. So, yeah.
Do you know what the difference is between the two games? The league game at home when we put four past them and that game is a completely different keeper and a completely different Rolls-Royce of a centre-half. Our back five are transformed, and that's without even getting onto Trent or Robertson before we even get onto them. Do you know what I mean? We're a different proposition now. Can you imagine Van Dijk and that City team? Fuck. They wouldn't lose a game.
I think Van Dijk also made sure that we didn't slip up. You know, that back four made sure we didn't slip up on Saturday either, to be honest, because you'd argue that beforehand, fucking hell, we would have let it go and all of a sudden we'd be going into meltdown. But okay, it was poor, it was rubbish, it was boring, but...
Some of us still went into meltdown. We'll get to that later. Later. Go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Give that enough. Grizz, Grizz, you called the 2-2 draw before it because that's the kind of coward you are. But 3-0 was out of this world, wasn't it? And not only the way we kind of gave them the ball, then we blitzed them, and then we literally gave them the ball for 45 minutes and went, yeah, go ahead. Let's see what you've got. And they didn't really have much. We had the answers, didn't we?
Ah, oh, stunning. Ian compared it to like a Mourinho-type-esque performance. I'd compare it to a Rafa.
Second half. second half.
No, I mean, like, for example, this was like the days where we took that, was it a two-goal lead against Juve in the Rafa days, sort of blitz 2-1. Teams. No, I mean, oh, it was two, yeah, we ended up 2-1, yeah. But in terms of blitz them in that first half, I mean, look, I was shitting it. That first 20 minutes, they looked really comfortable, and we were struggling to get hold of the ball, and I thought to myself, this could be a long night. And then, you know, in the famous words of Klopp now, boom, we just suddenly went mad for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and we were just like possessed animals for those 15, 20 minutes, and they just couldn't hack it. They just couldn't hack it. And the beauty of it, the beauty of this performance was that second half for me. I mean, that second half performance was mature as a performance I've seen from a Liverpool team under Jurgen Klopp. We saw quite a few under the good old days of Rafa, but under Klopp, I agree with you. Maybe not the most flamboyant of performances overall, etc., etc., but in terms of maturity and control, because there was definitely a tactical plan in that second half in terms of how to defend against them. And it was magnificent. I can't think, or I tried to check records, and apparently the last time Man City didn't get a shot on target was 2016. So that is some fucking going.
Yeah, do you know something? Like you say there, it's a mature performance. And I think that second half gets into City's head more than the first half, I'm being honest with you. I think they know about what we can do. We can punish it, and we can punish it badly. But I think to go 45 minutes where we decided we didn't really want the ball, and we got it, we might have tried to do something with it, but I think we really got into their heads there when we went 45 minutes, you have the ball, you go and do what you can, see what you can do, and we walk away with Loris Karius not having to make one single save in the whole game. Just finally, and I'll come around all of you, do you think City played badly?
No, not really. Well, sometimes when you hear the pundits and all that saying City weren't at it, City weren't this, I think it does a disservice to the side they were playing, because the fit, like Grace just said there, the first 10-15 minutes they settled really well, but we kept our shape, we didn't lose our shit. You know you're going to get a chance against them, because they're quite similar to Liverpool in a way. They do leak chances, do you know what I mean? And then the second half, they played, before Fernandinho was playing some lovely little slide passes, you know what I mean? But our shape was fantastic. I mean, we'll get on to Trent in a minute, but we stayed very narrow as a four, like we spoke about before. We were fantastic. We let them have the ball in the second half. Pure confidence. Lovren was tremendous. He's a whole back four. So, no, I don't think they played poorly. I just don't think we allowed them to play as well as they can do, you know what I mean? They used to just bully in teams. But what you've just said there is right, though. That will be in there. That's scary for other teams. If Liverpool learn how to defend, and we've quietly been going about that, and we only conceded 3 goals in the last 10 games, is it? Something like that? Karius has got 8 clean sheets in 15, or some stupid stat. We're quiet since Van Dijk come in. No other centre-back, or no other side has kept more clean sheets since Van Dijk signed for Liverpool. So we are quietly improving, you know, and we're still, it hasn't cost us at the other end of the pitch. So I'd be worried if I wasn't a Liverpool fan. Because we're starting to look the part, like. Gav, maybe do 5-0 on Tuesday.
Gav I think Gav made a brilliant point about.
I doubt that very much.
So do I. No, Grizz, do me a favour and get closer to that mic, will you? If we're happy to see you again.
He's off the cans this week.
I'm not off the cans.
But you know the point about. I think that second half shocked City and Pep.
I think even in at the bottom of their heart, they expected us to sort of maybe score, right? A couple even, right? I don't think they expected to concede 3. No team goes into a match expecting to concede. But when you go to Anfield in a Champions League, you know, your coach can be forgiven to think maybe you'll concede. But I'm pretty sure they were 90% sure they were going to score. So regardless of we getting a couple, they knew they were going to score. Or they had that much confidence. The fact that they didn't even get a sniff, I think that shocked them. And I think that plays in their head on the in the second game, because they know, you know, we have still got that threat going forward, but they know they've got a task. They're going to have to commit an extra body going forward because they tried tried their damnest to score in that second half, but we did not even give them a sniff. So I think they were pretty shocked. Keith. Apart from the coach entry, anyway, that was
the
shocking.
Coach, for fuck's sake. I mean, they need to get over themselves.
Bosh.
Yeah, but like, you know, so much fucking
over it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get over it. Keith, you like the tactical side of the game, so I'm going to put two things here about this on this game, and then we get off it. I think Pep made two massive mistakes. One was starting Laporte our left back, and because I don't care how good a centre-half he is, him going out there to play left back against Mo Salah is madness, in my opinion. And secondly, I think it was a massive mistake not starting Sterling. And I don't care about his form at Anfield. I think he might actually be City's top scorer. And I thought he looked a lot better when he came on the pitch as well.
I'll tell you what, right? I find it quite perplexing that you have two of the best wingers in the Premier League and you don't start them against a team that love to have flying wingbacks left, right and centre. They decided to play Bernardo Silva instead, who ultimately looks for pocket of space, plays in front of players all day long, and you can see what he's doing. So at the end of the day, our wingbacks had all the license in the world to kind of go forward. Okay, Trent had his battles with Sane, but Robertson had plenty of opportunities to run past with the ball, and he probably wouldn't have done that if Raheem Sterling was playing, because he would have to keep thinking, all right, I've got to go back, I've got to go back, I've got to get into position. So massive mistake not starting Sterling. And Laporte, exactly that. It was quite... Managers always seem to do this. They always seem to have their moments of madness, like all the great managers. And I think Pep had it there. But irrespective of that, Liverpool were just too good. And that just goes to show that if you were to try, you know, can't take us lightly. You can't just think that you can make little changes here or there. You have to come at us or not at all. And the only thing I'll say just in terms of my concerns about the second leg is the way we keep the ball.
Yeah,
don't like it.
We'll get to that later on, and we
it was Gundogan who started, not Bernardo Silva.
Gundogan. He puts Gundogan out on the right hand side, and I think Gundogan got a bit pissed off about 25 minutes in.
Lampard made a good point after the game. He said, "When you're played on the right and you're a central midfielder, you don't do either job. You don't play central and you don't play on the right. You caught between a rock and a hard place."
Yeah, caught between what you're meant to do and what you're used to doing.
Yeah,
I think.
James Milner the right to do whatever he wanted to. I thought he had a top game as well.
Yeah, I thought, look, there wasn't a bad player on the pitch. You know, a lot was made of Trent and how we got on against Sané, and I thought he was outstanding, but I think the main thing about him was he stuck to Lovren, and he didn't let that gap develop between him and Lovren, because you know that David Silva's going to try to get in there. They're going to try overload all the time, but he just kept his shape all the time, and I thought he was there wasn't a bad player on the pitch. There really wasn't. There was no negatives for me throughout the whole game. That result, lads, leads on to the Everton game on Saturday. Now, I think most people expected Liverpool to make changes. Most people expect... the face on Ian tells it all. Most people expected Liverpool to make changes. We weren't too short on Salah's fitness. I think he might have been just rested. I think he was all right. He seemed okay after the game. Ian, I'll come back to you. The lineup. Did you expect it to go that way? Because I thought it was pretty strong. If you actually look through the team, it is pretty strong. I know a couple of injuries hamper us on what we might have wanted to do, but he brings a couple of youngsters into the squad and they're just there to go on the bench. Did you expect us to go that strong, even though we had got a couple of players, obviously?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I said it's a derby, so you won't want to get turned over 3 or 4-0, especially coming up to Tuesday. That can affect your mindset, you know what I mean? But at the same instance, you could see that the players, even they'd done a professional job, but they weren't exerting themselves the way they usually do. Milner was clearly saving his energy. Henderson, well, he's not playing, is he? So he could get about. I thought Wijnaldum was top draw, possibly my favourite performance from him for Liverpool. Even, you see, Firmino, when he come on, that weren't Firmino. That was like some imposter who just won a fucking... be a fan
Nunes.
For the day.
Nunes.
It was fucking Dele Alli. I don't know what was his name. Don't want to play for Southampton.
George Weah's cousin.
Yeah, so George Alli. I think his name was, whatever his name was.
Yeah,
he was just,
I can't remember.
He just bounced around for a bit. Because he just didn't, none of them wanted to get injured. I think if you did, I quite fancied 0-0 before the game because Everton should have scored. That header from Tosin at the back post is absolute dog shit. Really is. But I think if you'd have said to Klopp before the game, he'd never come out and say it out loud. But if you said to him, take a 0-0, no injuries, and then just, especially what we know now about Chelsea, I know you're not a fan of that, but no one gives a fuck what you think, Gav, so.
I know.
So, but no, I'd take that all day.
They don't care because they know I'm right and they don't want to listen. That's what it is.
Well, I haven't heard anything you said, but I have heard that you've had your knickers in a twist all day about it. So
I've been disgusted since the final whistle yesterday.
It's lasted 72 hours, Ian.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's
been on the rack.
The game was only on for 24 hours.
Exactly.
He's menstruating. But listen, you take that all day long. We've lost nothing. We're never going to sit. United won anyway, so we're struggling to get second. We're not going to finish fifth. What have we lost, seriously?
I'll let the other lads answer first. Grizz,
they'll agree with me.
I know they will, and then I'll come back and disagree, which is all. Grizz, the lineup for me was fairly strong. I think Moreno was due to play, but took a knock in the warm-up, and Clavin comes in at left full, and Klein, it was great to see Klein come back. What did you make of the lineup, and what did you expect, I suppose, from the game when you're seeing that lineup?
Exactly what happened. I expected that lineup. I knew the fullbacks were going to get rested because they were just so immense. We didn't have much choice at centre back. Obviously, with Gomez and Matip injured, Clavin, who apparently just trained, only had a couple of training sessions, come straight back into the fold. When I saw the lineup, I actually thought we may go three at the back.
I thought
we nailed on to go. And the reason, not only the centre-backs, because we had three centre-backs in the team, orthodox centre-backs, not only because of the centre-backs, but because of the fact that Ings and Solanke were starting for the... Is it the first time maybe together? I don't know if any of you know that. Was that the first time Ings and Solanke have started together?
I would imagine so, yeah.
I think so. And so neither of them are ideally suited to playing anywhere apart from central. So that's why I thought we're going to play like a 3-5-2 where Mane would have a free role. Because Mane has been, we've discussed it as we've discussed before, Mane has been playing sort of a slightly withdrawn role where he's spraying passes left, right and centre as well. So I thought Mane would be given a free role because of Ings and Solanke. But Klopp surprised us again. Klopp knows what he's doing. He put orthodox back four in. Clavin goes to left back. I thought he'd done a very good job against one of the speediest wingers. Call him what you want. I think Walcott's shit anyway. But, you know, he's got speed if nothing else, right? I think he had a run.
I heard someone the other day saying he looks like Lewis Hamilton now, and I broke my bollocks laugh.
He does.
Yeah. Has he got tattoos as well?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's a footballer.
He's a fully blown helmet.
Fully blown helmet. Yeah. Fully blown helmet. So, I mean, look, considering they had
that's an STD, isn't it?
Yeah.
Considering they got Bolasie and
that's
Wolf
why Matt's
on the wings
here this week.
considering they got Bolasie and Walcott on the wings, two of the quickest players in the Premier League, up against Klein, who I thought was his usual solid 7 out of 10 Klein, pants going forward, but who never let you down at the back. I thought they were dog shite, Everton. Absolute dog shite. The fact that they couldn't, I mean, they only really had a go at us in the last 10-15 minutes when, you know, A, we were tired because the players that I played on Tuesday, you know, fatigue kicked in. And mentally, we had kind of switched off to Tuesday. I think no injuries, Klein minutes, bit of squad rotation. Everyone had a good game. Everyone had a good little run out. Ings and Solanke has a run out. I think it was decent. I think, if, as Ian says, if you offered us a draw at the and a clean sheet, all things considered, take that all day long, mate. Regardless, and this is regardless of the Chelsea result. You know, even if Chelsea won today, I still think we get top four pretty easily. So, you know, but that Chelsea result is just the cherry on top, isn't it?
Yeah. Keith, I disagree with most of what Chris said there, but I'll come back to it in a minute.
Standard.
No, it is standard. Keith, from Thursday morning, we heard, you know, we're going to make changes. We're going to go. There was youngsters being brought into the squads. We didn't want any more injuries. I get all that. But I think we should be still beating Everton and beating them quite easily when we change our side with whatever. With that side we put out, we should be beating Everton, in my opinion. Did you feel the same, or did you walk away from the game thinking, no, I'm happy with that, walk away, all's good?
It was I'll tell you one thing, it was a rubbish game of football to watch. Absolutely awful, dog shite from both teams, if I'm honest with you. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I agree with Grizz and Ian in terms of the fact you take the draw all day long. You know, they didn't really cause us any issues. We didn't skin. But the one thing that it has exposed for me is a lack of strikers at our club. And that is exposed it big time. Listen, I'm all for a sweet story, you know, a sweet end to a sweet story. Or, you know, having kind of rise from the ashes in Danny Ings. And as a person, I think he's fantastic. I'm sure he's a great guy. To come back from two injuries is quite phenomenal, to still be running around doing what he does again. But he is not Liverpool quality, and he should not. And Klopp should have realised this a long, long time ago, because for me, having him and Solanke as our only options, if anything else happens to Firmino, Salah or Mane, is literally pulling our pants down, if I'm completely honest with you. I said it in January. We needed a striker. We needed someone to compete with Bobby Firmino, if anything. We needed someone that was going to...
He's on Gav's payroll, Ian. He's on Gav's payroll. Go on, carry on.
I haven't opened my mouth.
100% I've said it, right? I always said we need another striker. Can you argue, honestly, that Dominic Solanke and Danny Ings for a top four club are good enough options off the bench? When you look at everybody else, Solanke's similar age to Rashford, comes off the bench from Man United, bangs in goals, bangs in big goals, right? You look at the fact that they've got Martial to come off and can pitch in every now and again. You've Sanchez, Lukaku, that there are loads of options. You look at someone like Chelsea, who also don't have a lot of options, and look where they are. Do you understand what I mean? Look at Tottenham. Tottenham still managed to rely on the goals from Son Heung-min to keep them going, and while Kane was away, in terms of another option to kind of step up to the plate. We've got goals in our team. It's never been a problem. But what is a problem is the lack of quality in the background if something else happens. And I don't think we have enough of that. I say Tottenham, but I don't think Tottenham have it either, to be perfectly honest with you. If I think about it twice, if I think about it again, Tottenham are the same. I think Tottenham, Liverpool, Arsenal and Chelsea are all teeter-totter on the edges. Do you understand what I mean? Whereas I think the cities, United, have more options to choose from in attacking situations. Means more competition, and I think we need to get someone in. And it doesn't have to be a big signing either. Like, if Firmino is the one striker, it doesn't have to be some worldie, but it's got to be someone who's experienced at banging in goals. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I think it exposed. Nevertheless, point's a point, and Chelsea fucked up, so who cares?
Yeah, Chelsea did fuck up, and I think that makes them 10 points behind us, doesn't it? With they've 6 games, if we 5 or something like that. I think if we win our three home games, yeah.
Just before you start one of your world famous rants,
I'm not going to rant.
You've got 3 minutes. You're not any more than 3 minutes, and we're all just going to start swearing at you. Go on now. Go on.
Right. The team. Where do I start with this one?
I'll tell you when the alarm bells went, right? That's where you call pressure. He's under pressure.
Thursday morning. Hold on, I have a drink. I'm allowed to have a drink. Do you stop the clock while I'm having a drink?
Go on, start the fucking talk.
You can now, do both.
For me, right, on Thursday morning, the alarm bells rang for me when I seen people saying, oh, Saturday's a nothing game. Saturday means nothing to us. And I couldn't get my head around that. You're playing Everton in the derby. And it's the biggest game of the season for a lot of Liverpool fans, all right? Now, I get where people are coming from, that we have Tuesday ahead of us, we have different things like that. When the game was over, I thought we went quite strong. People are making out this was half a team, but you had your first-choice goalkeeper, you had your two first-choice centre-halves, you had three first-team midfielders, let's be honest about it. You had Mane, okay, Klein was coming back, done a great job. Clavin, who people a couple of weeks ago were saying has been really unlucky not to be in the team, he could have been centre-half if he didn't play on the left. He came in, so I don't think he's much of an excuse. And then you have the two lads up front. And I was disgusted at a nil-all draw. Genuinely disgusted at a nil-all draw. And the thing is, the reason is because it gave me a look at this squad if we have a major injury to a major player. And it worries me. It worries me badly. Because in January, when we are selling Coutinho, people said, oh, we have the squad short. Now Ings is this and Solanke is that. And when I at that time I was disgusted as well. I couldn't believe we were doing it, and we went strengthening, and people kept telling me Ings and Solanke, and now we're having to look at Ings and Solanke, and they are just not good enough. And the people that told me in January that they were good enough, it wasn't backed up for them yesterday, because the first chance we got to rely on these players, and it did not happen. That's my point of view. I'm still disgusted over the result, and I don't care what team we put out, we should beat Everton. They are fucking malogen, is the word, the only word I can use them. Awful.
What word's that?
How many seconds have I got left?
What word was that?
It doesn't matter. How many seconds have I got left?
But what word was that?
Malogen.
Malogen. What's that mean?
Just
that
I'm really, a really bad.
What's that? Is that
Grace, get your Collins English dictionary out there. Look it up and come back to us.
Arthur is a type of mayonnaise or something.
Listen. Now, the way I look at it is, right, if we want to compete constantly for big things, we should be able to make four changes to a team and beat the likes of an Everton. It's as simple as that.
Gav.
Yes,
I'm just going to have first go. I know probably Ian's dying to have a go as well. I'm not going to have, sorry, not a go, but a response, sorry. Yeah. I understand your points. I said that in the WhatsApp group earlier as well. I understand your points. But I would only understand your points if we didn't have an injury list that we've got,
mm-hmm.
which includes the likes of Lallana, Salah, etc., etc. We know. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bore everyone, right? So your point would stand if we didn't have those injuries. The fact that we have those injuries after playing what was not only a physically draining, but an emotionally charged night at Anfield against Champions League quarterfinalist City, right? Who are the best team in the Premiership.
Mm-hmm.
Your point would be valid if those injuries weren't sort of hindering our team plans, and if we weren't playing 48 hours later. Ings and Solanke, it's very difficult and it's very easy to judge them on that 90 minutes. I am in no way saying they are good enough for us going forward. No way. So I'm not saying they're good enough. But for where we were in January in terms of the decision was, do we invest now or do we look for better options to improve the squad in summer? I think it was a calculated risk. And obviously hindsight is a wonderful thing, but that risk has paid off now. Now, if your point again becomes valid, if we do not improve the strike force like Keith says, because I agree with your point about Ings and Solanke not being of the quality needed to be stand-ins for any of our front three, right? But I think at the moment your point doesn't stand because of the circumstances of our injury. We could, any team that misses five or six of their squad, maybe not first teamers, but an important core of their squad. Any team, you just mentioned, Keith mentioned the likes of Spurs and blah, 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 blah. Any team that goes without five, six players would struggle, and they would have been very happy with that performance, going to a local derby, going to their local team, who were fucking charged up. Did you see the way the maniacs celebrated a corner? It was fucking ridiculous. I felt like fucking giving them a box of roses because they got a fucking corner against us, right? They were charged up. I don't give a shit how shit they are, how crap they are. It's a Merseyside derby. It goes out the window. They were flying into some bollocks challenges. Did you see some of Rooney's lunges and Coleman's? I didn't want any injuries. I didn't look. People say, "Oh, you gotta," you know. Ian will probably relate to this more because he's from Liverpool. The local rivalry. It doesn't. It's 2018. We gotta get past looking at local rivalry at the more and look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture was Tuesday. I think it was absolutely fine, that performance.
The bigger picture is Tuesday, Grizz, but like when we were looking at this in January, we were going to rely on Ings and Solanke if this situation materialised. Oh, hold on, we were. Because if any of our front three got injured, we were relying on Ings and Solanke. Okay? Now, what happens is we end up in a quarterfinal of a Champions League and we have to not play Salah, injury or rest, we're not too sure. And Firmino definitely needs a rest because he's badly needed on Tuesday night. Okay? So we all decide, people told me that, no, they'll be fine, they'll come in. And what annoyed me was, is that as soon as we won there on Wednesday night, people were writing off Saturday because they knew we were going to have to play these players, that they justified being in the squad in January and they justified no strengthening. And that's what annoys me, Grizz. So at the end of the day, right, if people had turned around to me and went, listen, lads, that game on Saturday is nothing, because to be honest with you, them two we have as backup just aren't fucking good enough. And the squad isn't good enough to deal with what we have, and we'd probably lose the game. I would have accepted that. But don't give me fucking excuses and go back on things that are said in January where, oh, we're selling Coutinho, but these lads are okay. And then when we have to use these lads, it's like, oh, well, let's write it off. That's what annoys me, Chris. You either have it one way or the other. And I tell you what else is a problem. It's the fucking standards that Liverpool fans hold themselves at times, right? It's all about, oh, we just get fourth and we just do this. And it is. It fucking is. And the problem is that we should be looking and going, we should beat them. They're nowhere near as good as us. We should beat them. But from Thursday morning on, all I heard was, this is a nothing game and Tuesday is the main deal. Tuesday is the main deal. But we should still have the people in place to go and beat Everton. No fucking excuses.
All right. Let me have a go. Right?
Yeah. 90 seconds. Go.
Oh, mate, I can pleasure four women in 90 seconds. Don't you worry about that.
And you'd finish a few times as well, I'd say.
Are we in a better position right now than Man City are? Say it was 0-0. The game they just had with Man U and the game we've just had with Everton, are we going to be better physically on Tuesday than Man City, or are we going to be better prepared on Tuesday than Man City?
To be honest,
I'll answer, yeah, we are, because they played a full till the 94th minute and we didn't.
Yeah.
We've gone out at 70% with it. All right, we haven't got the squad that you want.
We don't have the squad that I want.
You've had your goal. Okay. But what I'm saying is...
58 seconds left.
Well, 63, because you butted in. we didn't strengthen in January, because, like Chris said, we took a calculated risk. And that risk so far is paying off. It hasn't cost us. We're on the verge of the semi-finals of the Champions fucking League, do you know what I mean? I don't agree that Solanke's not good enough. I believe he's not ready. There's a difference. I don't think Ings is good enough. Do you know what I mean? Everyone writing Solanke off already, I just think it's naive. They were doing it only fucking 2 months ago. Do you know what I mean? Klopp's gone out there. We can't go full throttle. We don't have the squad. There's no point moaning about it. If we'd have strengthened in January, we might have played a different side on Wednesday and not won 3-0. Do you know what I mean? So it's all about the butterfly effect. I'm happy with a 0-0 against Everton with the squad that we've got at the moment. And we are practically rested for Tuesday, where a City end up bringing on all their fucking subs and everything, they were naive, City, and they would be mentally and physically tired.
They got caught up emotionally in the occasion.
Klopp didn't, and I really love him for that.
That is not my issue, Grizz. My issue is not if Klopp got emotional. My issue is not who he played or what he fucking played. My issue is that these players, that when we sold Coutinho in January, and I asked, why are we, one, why are we selling them? And two, why aren't we strengthening with the money that we have or something in place? Because it wasn't a fucking 24-hour decision that we sold Coutinho. And the answers I got from people was, should we have A, B, and C? Now, it's come down to A, B, and C in a nothing game, as people like to call it. And when this nothing game came along and A, B, and C showed up, they weren't worth fuck all. All right.
Can I say?
So don't tell me in January that put these players up as a smokescreen for selling Coutinho and saying everything's okay. And then as soon as they're asked to be called upon, don't turn around then and tell me, oh, well, they're not really fucking good enough, and we should really write off a game against Everton in a fucking derby.
Why are we still going on about Coutinho?
It's not about Coutinho. The problem we had in January was, if you want to sell Coutinho, fine, but strengthen the squad. Always strengthen your squad, Ian, right? Because then you don't get down to a point where you're watching a game and you're saying to yourself, we write off this game because...
But my point is, Gav, we didn't strengthen the squad, but we couldn't be doing any better than we're doing right now if we did strengthen the squad.
Well, we did. We got VVD in, Ian, and I think
that's
a counterpoint to Gav, actually. I think our squad was improved.
Oh, yeah, no, listen.
We can't be better now than if we went out and bought Lamar and Pulisic. We can't be any better than we are now in the league. I don't see the problem. I genuinely don't see it.
What I'm trying to say to you is that, no, I've no problem with Liverpool's season. I'm over the moon where we are in the Champions League. I think we'll secure top four now after today's result, particularly against Chelsea. I was a bit on the fence during the week because I kept thinking, if Chelsea get these two games in hand and there's 5 points in it and they've still the players and we fuck up once, and I know it's a lot of ifs and buts, but it can happen, and you've seen Liverpool down the years fucking slowly fade away, and you've seen other teams do it where they look like they're comfortable and all of a sudden it's down to a last day, and it could be against the Brighton, but they could be fighting for their lives, trying to fucking survive, and anything can happen. I've no issue with what Liverpool have done this season. I think we're as good as anyone in this league. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think we're as good as anyone in Europe. Really do. When we have the players on the pitch that we want on the pitch. My problem is that we called on players there on Saturday that people had bigged up in January as being okay for the squad, and they can step in and there's no problem. And Coutinho's gone, there's no problem. And as soon as it looked like these players were going to have to be called upon in a big game for a certain reason, people were writing this game off, right? So the actual true reflection of the squad, and it gave me a window as to see what this squad is actually all about. That's just what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I think your point is okay then. So Klopp is an emotive person, right? He's quite an emotive person. He's a calculated guy, and at the end of the day, he can be cutthroat when he needs to be.
I'm very emotional now. I'm trying to drink an empty fucking glass here.
No, but you know, at the same time, you have to see it from his point of view. Clearly, he saw something in Danny Ings on the training pitch to suggest that, do you know what, I'm going to give him a go. And maybe deep down, he thought to himself, do you know what, he's managed to come from where he's come from to where he is. Let me see. I'm going to give him that chance. Do you understand what I mean? So yeah. I think it's more of a motive than calculated. And you're being calculated. You're like, boom, at the end of the day, they're not good enough. They've never been good enough. They shouldn't have been trusted. Whereas Klopp seeing it as, okay, Liverpool invested in Danny Ings. He has certain qualities that fit within what I like to do. Let him have him around in the training pitch when they're playing, you know, 7v7 and they're having to deal with certain situations with a player like him. And maybe he saw something that a lot of us didn't. And with Solanke, I think it's more of a purchase of having English players in the quota, if I'm honest with you, a young English player, and they probably start to develop him. But at the same time, that's what you're going to get.
Just a quick 30 seconds. Just to end it all. Look, Gav, in defense of the people that said, right, whoever said, we don't know, we're not going to mention names, whoever said that they were good enough in January, right, in terms of to get us through. Now, we've got to go back to January and remember our objectives in January were just, and whether you think that's lowering our sort of expectations, is fact is our expectation was to secure top four. And so the argument was given that they are, not just them, not just Danny Ings and Solanke, but the likes of Ox, Lallana, et cetera, are good enough for us to secure top four. I don't think anyone, if they did, then you've got a very valid point. I don't think anyone said they're good enough going forward into next season. But for the objectives for this season in January, they were to secure top four. Klopp thought, and it's turned out rightly so, whether it's by default or whatever you say, he's been proved correct that the squad overall is good enough to get top four, and that's what Klopp thought.
I think the squad is good enough to get top four, and
that was what the objective was then, because it wasn't to win the title, it wasn't to win the Champions League. The objective was finish top four, and I think we saw that now we're in this position. Now all of a sudden we're thinking what might have been, but
we can't change our
Say for argument's sake, right? We beat City. Just for argument's sake, we beat City on Tuesday and we go through, right? And then I don't know, a couple of injuries happen. Are we just going to keep writing off games against people because these? Are we going to keep writing off games because these players that we put our faith in January because we didn't and not strengthen, are now playing and they're not they're only fucking this and they're only that. Are we just going to keep writing off games is what I'm asking?
Nah, that's bollocks. We're not just writing off games. We're talking about the second leg of a Champions League quarter final. It's not just random. Do you know what I mean? We're not just saying, right, let's fuck Spurs off, let's fuck the Everton game off, let's fuck Brighton off, let's fuck stop. That's harsh to say. Are we just saying that? What we're saying is, This is the squad we've got. This is the situation we're in. This is the fixtures we've got coming up. This fixture against Everton didn't affect our season in any way, shape, or form going forward.
Thank you.
That's my issue. So it's not like we've just fucked it off because we don't care. We've prioritised something which can affect our season, which is whereas this game cannot. I agree with you, we need better backup players. But even if we had fucking Timo Werner on the bench, we'd be in the same, we couldn't be any better off than we are right now.
Yeah,
the only
no.
problem we have is if Firmino gets injured in the semi-final or and then I'll agree with you. I'll say, yeah, we need a better backup. But for that game against Everton the other day, we didn't.
But that team should have went out and beat Everton at the weekend.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it does, Ian.
It doesn't. Because we're no worse.
How does it matter for what?
Because
you want to win. Yeah, everybody wants. We want to win every game. We didn't lose. I think Klopp went out for the first time in a long time not to lose.
Yeah,
and we didn't.
He could have. Yeah, he could have.
The only thing that it matters. The only reason it matters, Gav, is for personal pride. That's all it is. Because it doesn't affect us in the league. It could only if we'd have gone hell for leather and won that game. What if we'd have lost Van Dijk to a clash of heads and he'd broke his jaw? Or, do you know what I mean? We are no better off or no worse off with that 0-0.
In fact, Jürgen came out in the press conference afterwards and said, we had no intention of getting involved in a war.
In a crazy
derby. Words to that effect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He said something along the lines of, I didn't want to get involved in a crazy derby. And I understand that. And I think
you
people
can see that with the way
the point I'm trying to make. You know, I know Tuesday is the place to be and where we want to be and what we want to do. I get that, right? What I'm trying to say is that as soon as we have to use this squad that we fucking tried to validate ourselves with in January, as soon as we had to use it, Thursday morning, people were saying, it's a nothing game, should we play half a team and it doesn't matter what happens. But that half a team went out and done, like, it's not even half a team. Them players that are meant to be backup and should be good enough, by all accounts in January, went out and weren't good enough and didn't win the game against a team that we've laughed at from fucking August. We've actually laughed about since August. You'd Rooney wobbling around the fucking pitch. Couldn't keep. He had to be taken off after 55 minutes because he probably was going to have a fucking cardiac arrest.
Let's move on.
If we'd have beat them, or if we'd have lost to them, our situation hadn't changed. Tuesday's still the priority.
Tuesday is the priority.
Honestly, we drew 1-1 with them at home when Mo Salah was on the pitch. So at the end of the day, we had them there and we didn't beat them the first time and we didn't beat them this time. Either way, it was a draw. Like, you know, we're all speculating about if we had X, Y, and Z.
Let's move on.
Okay, we'll move on. I'm right, anyway. It doesn't matter.
Short. That's about it.
What?
You're very short.
Yeah, I'm taking back the comment that I gave you about your hair earlier. Prick you.
Too late.
Right, let's get on Tuesday. I think our options are quite limited. With obviously the injuries we've spoken about, Henderson gets a suspension with dummy fucking head in the other night. Ian, I'll come to you first. What way would you line up against these on Tuesday? And what do you expect from the game overall?
I think we'll line up with the same back four. We haven't really got many options otherwise. The midfield, again, to be honest, mate, our starting 11, you haven't got many options. I think Gini will play as a six, and I think that's exactly what he done against Everton. I read the other day that he had 98% possession. Did I dream that? 98% pass completion. 98%.
Possibly.
And Wijnaldum.
Right.
And he had more. He made 50% more passes than he's ever made in any other game for Liverpool. So he was. I think he went out there not so much to learn a position in one game, but Klopp said, right, this is your role on Tuesday. Go out and perform it today. Do you know what I mean? So he's going to play as the six. You then got Milner, who runs on fucking Juju beans, he's never slowing down. And then Ox, who's got a really good record against them. The front three will all play. There's no way Salah's not playing. I'd rather Salah played and then didn't play in the next two league games, if that's how it's got to be. Because, you know, like I've just said, priorities. How do I see the game going? If there's one team in world football you do not want to have to chase a lead against, it's Liverpool Football Club. And it's not just a lead, it's a mammoth mammoth lead. We score one goal, they need five. I can see Liverpool scoring twice, so they would need six. We're not losing 6-2. If we lose 6-2, I'll never do another podcast ever again.
Oh, God, you know, the people praying for 6-2 now is unreality.
They're going to come at us. I mean, you know what? If they scored in a fair, even if it's 3-0 to them at half-time, I'll feel sick, but I'll still know we can score against them and they're still fucked. Do you know what I mean? It all is not lost. They need 2-0. They need a 2-0 lead by half-time just to keep it interesting, I think. And if Liverpool score in the first 10, 15 minutes, just everyone may as well just get the cigars out because it's game over.
Yeah, for me, like going back to Wednesday, for me, like people were saying, I seen someone tweet at half-time, it was a journalist saying the number zero is the most important for Liverpool now, and you know everyone was thinking that because a 3-1 going into Tuesday, I think City can sit there and go, do you know what, we get a goal by 70 minutes, 75, 80, 85. Yeah. We can just get that goal and we can throw fucking everything at them for the last 5 minutes plus injury time. But the 3-0 is a massive, massive thing. Keith,
Klopp has definitely got the beating of Guardiola. As I read the other day that no one's beat Guardiola more times than Klopp in his career.
Yeah, that's
he true. Knows how to beat him. And we would go, usually we would go toe-to-toe with City and we'd go right side. Even if we went full strength against them, a full throttle, we'd still score two goals at Main Road and we're fucking 87. But we would still score. The only reason we didn't in the league game is because we went down to 10 men and we were very naive. So the worst thing we can do is sit back and just go, right, I don't want to see a second. The way I've just praised our second half there, I don't want to see us start the game like that because that would scare me if we just got, because it's hard to switch your mindset. If they get a goal at half time or 2-0 and we're still in that mindset, it's very hard to then go up a gear, and that's my only concern.
You see, but I think the way we played last Wednesday night, although it was crazy football at times and it was just, we went at them, I think if you watch stages of the game, we sit back and we show them we can defend against them. Then we attack them at pace and we show them what we can do against them. And then we get involved in a game of football where we play possession football and we keep pushing and pushing and pushing them. So in certain different styles of play, we show we can actually play against them like that. And I think it was huge. Like I said, I think the second half is more impressive than the first. And I think that gets into their head more than the actual three goals they conceded. Because funny as it may sound, they probably expected to concede goals in probably the first, in the manner of the first goal anyway, quick attack into play and we stick it away. Keith, what way do you see us going on Tuesday? And what way do you see City going? Do you see City going full pelt from the start? Or do you see them trying to build their way into the game and hopefully get 1-0 and go from there?
I reckon all the big guns are coming out on this one. I reckon we're getting kind of Aguero, Sané, Sterling, Silva, De Bruyne, and I think it's going to be a fucking difficult football match. Listen, City have just had their pants pulled down by United. They've had their pants pulled down by Liverpool. Their fans, yeah, we can laugh and banter and like that, but they will be up for it for this one, and they will come into this all guns blazing. So Liverpool are going to have to be switched on from the moment, and there are players that we have in the team that are susceptible to mistakes. I'm not comfortable with the midfield because Phil can keep the ball well enough, but let's see what happens. Obviously, with our front three and what Ian said, anything is possible. Do you understand what I mean? We can still score a couple goals, so it's possible, but it's going to be a tough, tough game. I reckon the only player that might play that probably, I say everyone that Ian said, except maybe Klein might come in. Maybe Klein might start ahead of Trent in this one. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
I think that would be extremely harsh on Trent after the first leg, like, extremely harsh. And two games for a man who's only played once in 9 months in 3 days. I can't see it myself. He's good to have on the bench, like, don't get me wrong, but I can't see it.
A lot of people...
Klein's better defensively, and, mate, the guy came back against Everton and looked like he never left. Look like he never left. And I agree, Trent Alexander-Arnold is the future right back. But in terms of us, we're going to have to be so rigid defensively. I think Klein does a better job at doing that.
A lot of people here are saying that they expect to City to go full throttle at us. They have to attack us. I don't know. I think Pep tried to be too clever last Wednesday night, and I don't think it went well for him. I think... With Laporte and with Gundogan And then the way they tried to play, I think they were trying to be too clever. And they literally then went where they put every ball they could, every single ball they got their hands on, they put it over to Sané and thought he was going to rip Trent a new one. Grizz, what way are you going for Tuesday night? And again, what way do you see City going for this?
Exactly the same, obviously, lineup. The lineup picks itself. I said on half time, I think, or maybe near the end of the Merseyside derby, that Ginny's having a brilliant game. But on Tuesday, he's going to have... Is it Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday. He's going to have to have the game of his life, in my opinion, in that role. Because Hendo and Chan is a loss. That's your two first-choice centre mids, DM, six, call it what you want. Take out any first two choices of your sixes from any club and tell me they wouldn't suffer. So let's not beat around the bush and say, oh, you know, we should be strong enough and our squads... We'll talk about our squad again. That's... Ginny stepping in for Emery and Hendo is not a bad sign of the strength of a squad in that department. I think, I agree with you, Gav. I'm not sure about City and Pep's mindset, especially after the first leg. And then, which is crucial again, I don't want to start you back on the Everton, but their result against United, I think, totally fucks their brain up. Because football, we know, is a lot of football is played psychologically in your head as well, right? Now, initially, there's no way you do not go, or City would not go gung-ho at us from the start, from the offset, 3-0 down. I think he's not sure if he can afford to do that against us.
I don't think he will. They're good enough to score two against us before our time, just playing the way they've been playing.
Yeah.
So I think... They'll only get desperate round about 50 minutes, 55 minutes, and that. Don't get me wrong, mate. It'll be twitchy ass time. It's not over. Don't think the game's over. From 3-0 up and with our forward line, it'll be a monumental comeback if they turn it round.
I think the best
ever in the Champions League, bar us in the final.
I think it's a battle of nerves and a battle of concentrating in phases of play in terms of time, so I don't think they'll come out as first 20 minutes, and I think we have got to play our natural game. I do not want to see us start against how we started against United. Do you remember we went against United and we started a bit slow and we thought we'd control the game, similar to how City started at Anfield? I don't think that suits us. I know people want us to play like that, sort of more controlling midfield. I don't think we've got the personnel personally to do that this season. We may do next season with Keita and et cetera, but I don't think I want us to play this possession game that doesn't suit us. That's not Liverpool. I want us to play our game in that first 20 minutes because, as most of us agree, we get that goal, that kills them in terms of mentally, emotionally, everything. Physically, they'll be down, especially how they've conceded goals. Is it six goals they've conceded in like sort of 15, 20 minutes of phases of play in each game? So they can crumble at any time. And we have to believe that. Klopp has to believe that. Regardless, and even if they do, as Ian says, even if they get a 2-0 lead, fuck me, it'll be twitchy ass time. But we know we can score at any time as well. And that changes the picture. Even if it's 3-0, let's say they blitz us 3-0, we can score. And they can concede at any given time. I think it's a brilliant proposition. I'm not as confident as most people are. I think it'll be a fantastic game. You know, we have got players that can have brain fart moments. Trent was amazing. I mean, I thought that was a Steven Gerrard-esque performance of that level. That's how highly I rated that performance. But he didn't have an overlapping fullback to deal with, along with Sané. I think this time he will, even if it's Fabian Delph, who probably will be, it still gives them another option. I think Aguero is a total different animal to Jesus, far more experienced. More
Jesus.
Than
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. What should I say? Fucking Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah.
But the point being, look, it's an absolutely brilliant game to look forward to. I'm confident. I'm going to all.
Okay, I should have put a 90 fucking second fucking timer on him, shouldn't I?
He won't listen.
Like,
he doesn't
for the
know.
Amount of, for the amount is. Of fucking, for the amount of times that cunt's watched Countdown, he never like.
But none of you are Carol Vorderman, mate.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, if you talked to Carol Vorderman for that long, she'd tell you to fuck off. Come here. I was very impressed by the way Klopp managed this game last Wednesday. He showed Man City a lot of strands and different strands to Liverpool's game that we can excel at. And it probably showed a couple of Liverpool fans the same thing, especially the defensive work in the second half, that we genuinely have fucking shit ourselves, you know, for months, years about sitting back against teams, and all they'll open us up because we're a bit mental. But
can I just say, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he goes three at the back on Tuesday.
Well, I watched
just a shock, Pep.
Yeah, but I watched City and United yesterday. Now, don't get me wrong, for the first half, I thought City were excellent. They pressed the ball, they won the ball back, they were very cool and defensive. Even at the back with the ball, they were very cool. They played very good passes, you know, and they made their way up the pitch really, really well. I don't think United were able to deal with the fact that they were playing nobody up front. They literally didn't have anyone up front, but they controlled the game and moved up the pitch in a way that they didn't need a forward because they were so advanced that they could really do what they want. And it should have been 4 or 5 nil at half-time, I'm going to be honest. I thought United weren't great. I thought City were exceptional in the first half. But the second half for me, like if we look at the first goal Liverpool score, it's a pacey attack, it's a pacey counter. The second one, we win the ball and it's a great strike. The third one, again, we win the ball and it's a cross in the header. But if you watch United's goals yesterday, it's a little bit of interplay around City's defence and they score. The second one is a cross into the box and they score, and the third one's from a set piece. There's so many different ways to get at this City team. There really is. And I think they've been exposed over the last couple of games, and I don't think it's going to be too good for them. And I don't think it's a good time for them to be exposed. With regards to the way they're going to come out, I agree. I think they're going to put as many attacking players as they can on the pitch. I think they're going to try pen Liverpool in. I think they're going to try play quick, fast football and try rely on the defence to get the ball to these front six, as it will be, and go from there. What do I think happens? I agree with Ian. I think we score at least twice. I genuinely believe that because, one, I think there's a mistake in City and we can capitalise, and two, I genuinely think we can get at them. And I say that about any defence in Europe. If it goes 2-0, yeah, as Grizz said, we can score and they still have to go and score another two, you know, to get through or whatever it is, three. My prediction, I think we score two anyway, but I think City will go absolutely hell for leather at this. And that's why the nil that we had against them on Wednesday night is so, so crucial. I get predictions, obvious, but not right now, okay? I want to go on to something completely different before I go back to predictions. And it's this fat back four challenge that we are all trying really, 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 really hard at. I looked her up tonight. We're 30. Ian is fucking, he's like fucking 40 and stone in a day. He's on a drip. But I looked at it earlier on. We are, I think, about £40 short of our initial £500 target. We don't have the weights this week because A couple of us didn't weigh ourselves. We've been very, very busy. And B, Matt has all the fucking numbers, and like we genuinely can't even remember what we fucking started on. We literally give Matt our numbers. We send them across to him. He calculates all and comes back, but he's not on tonight. He had something on tonight in the last minute, so he couldn't come on. So this is what we're going to do. Next week, we are 100% going to give you the weights. Everyone's going to weigh themselves on probably Saturday, early Sunday. We've given ourselves a cut-off of 3 p.m. on Sunday to get the weights in. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and it was Ian that came up with this, and we're all going to get in on board with this as well. When we hit £500 in donations, we are going to do a bonus pod, all right? And when we do the bonus pod, you are going to decide all the topics for it. The people listening, the people watching, the people donating, they're all going to decide. When it hits £600, we're going to do another bonus pod, and you're going to decide what the topic is. And it's going to go on like that. And we will have to keep doing these pods and answering all your random questions, football related, anything you want. But every time we hit another £100, this is what's going to happen. So people are asking there, what's the charity again? It's Alder Hey is the charity. If you go to justgiving.com.
Alder Hey, Children's Hospital.
There's. Yeah. If you go to justgiving.com, if you type in FB4, it'll bring up, it'll actually say it's Matthew's account. It's because Matt set it up. If you click in there, you can donate, as we said, anything, £1, £2, whatever you want. Just get us over that initial 500, and then you're going to make us work for it. So we're going to have to start, we're going to have to keep losing weight, and we're going to have to keep doing pods. And you're going to decide how these pods go, literally, from start to finish.
And Grace is shit at both of those things, so... losing weight and doing pods. So yeah. let's ruin his week, let
the weights do the talking, let the figures do the talking, yeah. Son,
Grizz,
we still got 4 weeks, is it, Gav? 4 weeks.
Sorry,
I don't know, look how big he is when he gets dead close to the screen.
People are asking here, the first question that came in on a random topic for these pods when we hit targets was gay porn, discuss, right? And the second one was,
can it be any topic?
It can be any fucking topic you want. It can be anything and we'll discuss it. But no holds barred. Once we, thanks Tino's just put up the link there for the actual charity. If you click on that, it'll bring you everywhere you need to go. But no, seriously, every time we hit £100, we will literally drop everything. We'll drop our tails like the Tino dropped his tails in January, and we'll do another pod. It'll probably be about 40 to 45 minutes, and we release it. So that's what we're going to do.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I've had this discussion with someone in the past. If you clone yourself, and then get your clone to wank you off, is that gay?
That's an amazing question.
Or is he just giving yourself a wank?
That's the sort of shit to talk about, you know what I mean? So there you go, we will talk about that.
Matt will have the answers to those type of questions.
Matt's done that.
There's no doubt.
He is in Dubai. They're fucking miles ahead in technology and all. He knows this shit.
Me and Keith are a bit more classier than that. We'll just pass that question.
You'd suck yourself off rather than, wouldn't you? Be honest. Come on, Grizz.
if I could suck myself off, I wouldn't be podcasting. That's a fact. No.
No, yeah, you'd be in the circus.
You'd be in the circus, did you say?
Yeah, that's how it's going to go. So literally every £100 donations we get, we're going to do another pod, 45-minute pod, and you can literally write anything you want on this screen, and what we'll do is we'll set up a tweet and we'll say, pods tonight, random topics, go. And we'll just literally go through anything you want. Can we put requests in for a song, says MS_G1. Yes, of course you can. We'll all sing a song.
I'm the singer out of the group, so I'm doing the songs.
Yeah, any song you want. Used to be an E17. But literally, that's what we're going to do, all right? So keep donating. We are trying. We're doing great. I'd say we're probably £50 down in weight between us all, genuinely. And we've 6 weeks to go. Is that right?
What are we on now? What's the date? The 8th of April, yeah. 26th of May, so...
About 6 weeks.
Yeah, not far off.
So that's what we're going to do. Keep it coming, and keep the money coming, and every time we hit that £100, we're going to go for it. We guarantee that. That's all I'm going to say on it. But as I said, just giving.com, go on there, type in FB4, you get all the details, hit in a donation. And if you're in, I think it's in the UK, you can hit the gift card thing, can't you? And it means that they don't get taxed on it and all that sort of stuff as well. So if you can do that as well. Let's move on. Predictions. And we're going to finish up with this. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left. Ian, Tuesday night. Two questions for you. Give me the 4 Champions League semi-finalists, all right, after you give me the prediction for Liverpool City on Tuesday night. That's a question for all of you, but I'll start with you, Ian. Go.
I don't ever like giving a defeat, but in this instance it's acceptable. I think we could lose 3-2, maybe 4-2 at a push, but the first goal is very important for my constitution. The four semi-finalists were the four who I thought it would be when the quarter-finals got drawn. The two Spanish sides, the two big Spanish sides, Bayern Munich and the Mighty Red.
Good stuff. Grizz is having another fucking fit over there. Fuck me. He doesn't know where the mute button is.
It's this diet, man. It's this diet.
Yeah. The diet's causing the flu.
Where is the mute button?
What?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I've got the mute button.
Yeah.
He's been podcasting for 3 years. There's no way to mute his.
It's an absolute mongo, isn't it?
I'm using the kid's iPad.
El Spazo.
Spazo. Keith, your next prediction for the Liverpool game on Tuesday night and your four semi-finalists.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to lose about one, I reckon. I reckon City are going to... It's going to be a tough evening, but I reckon we're going to get through it. And Bayern Munich, Juventus, Barcelona. Sorry, no, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Liverpool.
Okay, I think we're all going to go with them four in the semi-final. So, Grizz, give me your prediction for Tuesday night.
Come on, Gav, you know my prediction.
2-2.
I think they're going to take I think they're going to take the lead. We'll calm it down. 2-2. We'll finish 2-2. I think it'll be comfortable in the end. They'll have loads of chances, but you've got to remember we've got Lloris Karius in goal now.
Someone is on here asking, do you want to sing Stay by E17 before we go?
No, get that money. Let's get that donation up to...
If we don't
and then,
sing...
And then I'll sing whatever anybody tells me to sing. I'll tell you what,
if we get to £600... Sorry,
I will sing any request.
Will you sing Stay by E17 on the pod if we get over £600?
Yes, sir.
Right, okay. I won't say 500 because we're only 40 quid off that. But if you get to £600...
I may be busy that day.
Yeah, wanking yourself
I
off.
I can't. Or I may be donating £120 tomorrow just to see that Blair singer.
I'll go half with you.
Can I just say about Liverpool City?
Yeah.
If Liverpool stay true to form, we'll go through on penalties on Tuesday night.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Liverpool don't do things easy. When's the last time we done something easy?
Gosh,
when's the last trophy we won that didn't make you shit your kecks?
Right. Well, I'm always positive and then... Something hits me where I kind of get pessimistic. I'm going to say...
The drink hits you.
The drink. I'm going to... I think Shane McGowan here I am.
Davidson.
I'm going to go with 3-3 on Tuesday night. I think City take the lead, but I think it goes to and fro throughout the game. I think it's going to be a completely mental game of football. But I've always told myself since Wednesday, if we can do that to City, they can do that for us.
Just a quick one. We all said we're going through. Just a quick one. Who's everybody want if everybody goes through? Who would we like out of the remaining teams?
Any of them.
Bayern.
Really? Choose one, Ian.
Bayern.
Bayern. Ian, Gav?
Because I think it's fixed. I think they won an all-classical final. I genuinely do think that. Okay. So
The last team I take is Real Madrid.
I didn't ask that, Gav.
Pick one, Bayern Munich, because I've said from the start, I think we ripped them a new one.
Keith?
I think Real Madrid, 100%. I'd love to see Salah versus Ronaldo. Love it.
And who would you take, Chris?
Real Madrid as well, I think.
Yeah. I think they're the strongest team left now.
I think you're mad picking them. Mad.
Yeah, I think they're just literally playing for Europe now. Like they're doing fuck all else.
They can rest the entire squad before every game. Like,
yeah,
doesn't matter to me.
Okay. There's loads of predictions coming in here. And we'll have a little chat about them now. But I want to thank everyone for watching, commenting, sharing. This will be out.
Please donate.
It'll be out at midnight or something. When I get it edited, I'll get it out and we get it out for a podcast. But please do donate, Ian's right. Please donate, keep it going. And when we get to 600 quid, you're going to get a podcast that you decide what goes on. And not only that, on top of that, Gary is going to sing Stay by E17. And I'm going to go on to Match.
You may lose me for the Fatback 4 after that, because I will get signed up. So that is a risk. Think about it.
You'll be fucking signed in.
It's up to you. It's a risk. Is it risk losing me for future? Because I will be signed up.
It's a risk I'm prepared to take, honestly.
There was a hospital in Dublin years ago. Enough. If you sign someone in, like, they're a bit mentally, got a free wheelchair. That's madness.
He's got five wheelchairs in his.
Yeah. They've signed him in that many times. He keeps coming back. But no, we'd like to thank everyone.
That's for the benefits, I claim.
we'll genuinely just keep going. We are trying our best. We are, really are. But we'd like to thank everyone for watching, commenting. A lot of people saying they're great pod, keep up the good work. We try our best. We're just four idiots doing this every fucking Sunday. Keith's not. he's not an idiot. Keith is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. The rest of us are idiots. lads, another good pod tonight. That's an hour and just over an hour and 10 minutes, I think. A lot of people coming in there saying Madrid will be worse in the final. That's not a bad show. Stephen Kingsbury's asking, can we do a Tuesday pod? The Trippers are actually live on Tuesday, Keith. They're going to be, or Stephen, they're going to be live at half-time and full-time, I think, on Tuesday from a pub. So that could be fucking, you never know what's going to go on there. But that's been the Fat Back Four. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Keep the donations coming. 600 quid and Grizz Sing Stay by E7 live. Talk to you in a bit.